Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise God. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. And we are having a teaching on different kinds of spirits. And we're going to pick that up again, probably Tuesday. There is a lot of people that has not have the proper information or the revelation concerning the ministry of deliverance. What is blocking? Why is it that some people, and I'm teaching this basically because I've had a lot of people to call me, and I had to go do exorcism, and they couldn't understand why their pastor couldn't do it. They couldn't understand why he couldn't deal with the Ouija board. They couldn't understand how he could not and did not have any understanding of breaking a curse off of a Satanist. What covenants did they have to break? No understanding of that. And this is what lets for sororities, fraternities, Eastern Star in the church, it leaves out the ministry of deliverance. And a lot of you are under what the Lord has given me names as called great nothings or theologians. They even are a mind man. Everything is trained from their mind. Their teachings come from the mind. It does not come from revelation. Historical documents of the Bible and the fundamentals of theological studies sound very powerful, but it's very weak in the spirit realm. And some of you are under this type of doctrine, and it is destroying you. Not only do I see Satan operating in the church, it is sad to see that people can't even come in agreement about the Sabbath. I'm a Sabbath. You know, people can preach about demons. They can preach about lust and all this. But when it comes to Sabbath, everybody want to dance on it. I'm a Sabbath keeper. I keep everything in the Bible. That's a complete minister. I don't say, well, we believe in, well, we don't believe in this. And there are certain doctrines of devils that is operating in the church with these pastors that's moving totally away from dealing with deliverance with individuals. I have been doing this 15 years, and it takes time to do deliverance on a person. And pastors don't want to tie up their time with it. They want the money. They have sold out to the money. Musicians who are ordained to really have beautiful music are sold out to money. You have pastors and people teaching deliverance in the deliverance ministry. They won't even honor the Sabbath. Won't even consider, won't even look at it. Well, how come God can't talk to you with that, but he can talk to you of everything else? It's amazing to see how people, the Lord told me to never take out nothing in my Bible. And I have never done that. I believe in Genesis to Revelation. I believe in the Old Testament. There's things you can still learn in the Old Testament. I don't believe in taking none of it out. We don't have to have any animal sacrifice for sin because of Jesus. And what happens is you get another gospel, and then it turns into a marketing product for the pastor. This is why you have pastors who've been poor in their life, and when they get into the ministry, the Lord blesses them, and now Satan got a hand over them because they love money. And they just get these extravagant things. Most of the poor preachers who've been poor never had anything. They just wear it out, and then the anointing goes away. Then you got pastors who've been educated by man called theologians. We're going to look at what the scripture says about this and why you should stay away from such doctrine. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I thank you for giving me the revelation of a great nothing and a mind man. I ask that the revelation of Lord through the scriptures open up the believer's eyes so they can come out from under this type of teaching. I pray that the hearer receives the engrafted word of God and that it lines up with scriptures to convict them for their change. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We take authority over any demons of religion, spiritual principality spirits, controlling spirits, witchcraft spirits, green magic spirits, pastoral counseling without the Holy Ghost, witchcraft, all forms of witchcraft, charismatic witchcraft. We come up against it in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Romans 16:18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by God's word and fair speeches. Here's the situation. Fair speeches deceiveth the hearts of the simple. The Lord already knew you're simple and you don't know anything. So you hear the oratorical of the pastor, good evening, my name is Dr. C.T. McNicholson here today. And we're going to have an excellent speaker here today, and he's going to give you the principles of God. You know, stretched out words. This is what a lot of you are under. Some of you are under, charismatic, but still omit casting out demons. Then you got a church that only speak in tongues, but no interpreter. And I see people that call themselves Christians won't even recognize the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not just for saving their advantage. It's really for Christians. Jesus says he's Lord of Sabbath in the New Testament. So what happens is the doctrine of devils, a lot of people get caught up in these churches. Some of you go to these churches because your mama went there, your daddy went there, and, you know, you want to keep the tradition going, and the demons definitely want to keep it going too. They don't want to get you in something like this, what I'm saying, because they want to keep you out of this. The least that you know the Bible, the more you're susceptible to these types of people. When you get caught up in traditions, Jesus warns us about that. But he answered and said, well, Isaiah prophesied to you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teachings for doctrines, the commandments of men. See, the doctrines of the commandments of men. Theological teaching is doctrines of commandment of men. It is not by revelation. The Lord does not need to give any revelation based on theological terminology. It's based on Jesus, because he's the one who gives the revelator. He's the revelator. I neither received it by man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation, Galatians 1:12, of Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to knock down a theologian, but a theologian without the Holy Ghost is pitiful. God did not say anywhere in the Bible we should be called theologians. He said we should be called Christians. Although even in the Christian church today, in every denomination, everybody is an apostle. But everybody's not called to be an apostle. Which ones? The original, the apostles of the Lamb, those are the original apostles. The New Testament apostles, that's Paul and Silas, Phanomia, and other, Philip the Evangelist. And we have 21st century apostles. But if you don't know that and you go to a church that has doctrinal error, you're going to get caught up, especially with the swelling speeches of words. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by God's word and far speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. What is the definition of speeches? The expression of or the ability to express thought. Why God don't want us to be theologians. They do a lot of thinking, train you to think. They teach you how to take the text and take your finger and go all the way up to the beginning to see what it means. I've read, the Holy Spirit had me to read the Bible with a scripture way in Revelation and compared to Phanomia. You can't control the Holy Spirit on how to teach you, but they structure the mind. They structure the intellect and the intelligence. Some Baptist pastors, you can't even go up there unless you have a doctorate degree, and that's even more foolishness. But they can't cast out demons. They have no ability to hear God. So who is training who? It's the devil and his system. Now, God wants us to come out of that. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord. And I pray that you will see tonight, if you're up under this type of doctrine, you're going to never know the power of God. Now, if we turn to Romans 1:23, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. So what happens with this doctrine is that it becomes demonic evil. It's human wisdom. And the Bible warns us with this type of wisdom that it's not, you're going to get demons with that type of wisdom. In James 3:15, it says, this wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And what they do is they institutionalize people's minds and thought process and the ability to remember the archaeological times and events of God, the dispensations of God. It says dispensation ain't nothing but times of God. The Holy Spirit said, don't get caught up in all these heavy names. Be simple to the people. Jesus was very simple. It's called the simplicity of Christ, but a great nothing. Nothing is simple. He wants to always be known. He wants to take pictures with you. He's the one he wants you to look up to. You have to go see him before you marry somebody, and it really takes total control of people. Now, I would like for you to look at Isaiah chapter 29. Thank you, Lord. Boy, I tell you, I'm walking on some faith tonight. I ain't got an ounce of scripture. Isaiah 29:14. Thank you, Lord. Amen. He said, just be quiet. Go ahead on. I hear you. Isaiah 29:14. Okay. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work amongst this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. See, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in dark. And they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. And God, look at these types of teachers of very rebellious people. Isaiah 31, woe unto the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. So they're getting counsel from a man. And the man is telling them what they got to study and what test to turn over. You can't learn from the Holy Spirit like that. That's structured understanding. I can't follow that. Because the Holy Spirit teaches every one of us according to as he will and fashion us. We're all created in his image. Every one of us have potentials. And I believe that the Holy Spirit can use anybody in the ministry who is a yielding vessel. The way that the Holy Spirit would teach you would be the way that he teaches all of us, through his word. And that covered with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. In these types of doctrinal teaching, there is no conviction to the hearer. Everything is based on fundamental values such as riches. Being blessed equals a car. Being blessed cannot be having the nine gifts. They don't equalize that. Everything is based in the flesh for rewards of God. Such as if you tithe on the Lord's going to, they hem you up to tithe. That's a covenant that you have to make. You don't tithe to come rich. And this is what they teach. And God warns us about that. Also, if you look at Isaiah, we're going to have a lot of scriptures to deal with tonight because I'm going over every scripture that the Lord has given me. Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. See, when you don't have revelation, you're going to intellectualize scripture. And sometimes you can go above a person's head. This is why the Lord wants us to be able to teach in this simplicity. The spirit of Jesus should not note rather than tolerating the accommodation of persons who outwardly appear righteousness in their religious performances, but who was unrighteous in their personal lives. Jesus confronted the hypocrisy and sinfulness like that the baptism and the Old Testament problems. Jesus denounced sin and corruptions among those in position of spiritual influences. You have a lot of pastors that's involved with the ministry not because they want to serve God. Money. Rob people. Oh, they'll study the scriptures very well. And they start off with a good sense, but their heart becomes soft when they get that money. Most of these types of pastors, they have what you call a Pharisee spirit, which is in Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. How can they shut up the kingdom of heaven? If the kingdom of heaven brings forth the ministry of deliverance. Jesus says, your name is written in heaven when you cast out demons. But if they shut up the kingdom of heaven, your name can't be written because you don't know how to cast out demons. It blocks the power of God through humanism. And God gives us a free will. So if you illuminate your spirit to the word of God and the Holy Ghost, he can free you from the control mechanisms of great nothings and of mind men and intellectual enemies of God. Most people don't understand God does not need your intellectualism. I had one guy tell me education, that God doesn't need nobody educated in the pulpit. He has his own chosen vessel that should be sanctified unto him. that should be able to give the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit to teach that, to teach the Sabbath, to teach the Old Testament, to lay hands on the sick, to break generational curse, to speak out of revelation, to train those to learn revelation, to train those to take heed to obey the Lord Jesus and his word more than the pastor. And most pastors have a controlled spirit when they are operating outside the spirit of God, which is casting out the demons, because you're confronting two kingdoms. Why don't they deal with that? We looked at that yesterday. The reason why they don't want to deal with that is because of Acts chapter 19, verse 13, the son of Sceva. In Matthew chapter 23, 13, his words was directed against religious leaders and teachers who reject at least part of the revealed word of God. And this is what I'm talking about now. Notice that it says in Matthew 23, 13, Jesus did this 1,900 years ago, and I'm saying that we have to reject these types of people who even Jesus rejected during his time of walking on earth. Creflo Dollar is not a complete full Christian. He's not casting out demons. If any of you listen to me that know somebody that go over there, tell him, start casting out demons, all them people up in there, and not take the money. Tell him to get a fund for all them people in there that tithe. He got enough money where he can give checks out to everybody in there. Tell him to pay for the people who have to drive there to rehearse, or I don't know what he's doing over there. But the storehouse is not just for the pastor. It's for everybody. They're not going to tell you that because it's another gospel. Jesus even implemented this and ties this in with a Pharisee spirit. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 13, it says his words was directed against religious leaders. Religious leaders. Religious leaders. My word is directed to a religious leader. Cast out demons. Heal the sick. Stop worshiping on Sunday. Anybody who's worship on Sunday, if you're a born-again Christian, why you don't hear this? But yet your mouth want to tell people, and you want to be used by the Lord to tell people about certain sins in their life and how they have to serve God and what they got to do. But here you can't even go to the same God that you're supposed to get information from to help other people, but you blot out the Sabbath. You don't want to hear it. Well, you got to get to it because Jesus says he's Lord of Sabbath. But why is it it's not like that? Why is it this church is not casting out demons? Why is it this church is? Denominational spirits that definitely will block out the ministry of deliverance. And if you have an educated enemy of God sitting up there with all them degrees, you're going to try to rationalize exorcisms. So this is what the devil has done. He's replaced the power of God with intellectualism, with a format of prosperity that sounds good because everybody want to make money. And then they take 3 John 1:2, above all, I wish that thy soul prosper, even as you prosper. They take that and switch it only for financial gain, nothing else. So again, Jesus warns us about these types of person in Matthew 23:13. His word was directed against religious leaders and teachers who rejected at least a part of the revealed word, and that's the ministry of deliverance. They reject that. The word of God, and replaced it with their own ideas and interpretations. Isaiah 29:14 says, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work amongst the people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent men shall be hid. God does not want us to lean on a pastor so much that everything he say you follow. He's not going to teach you how to test the spirit because he wants to control you. If anybody is capable of gathering so much money every Sunday, don't you think they're going to craft that? Ezekiel 44:8 says, and ye have not kept the charge of mine, holy things, but ye have keepers of my charges in my sanctuary for yourselves. Most people go to theological school for different purposes, and I'm not saying that everybody go to school is demonic. I didn't say that. You can go in school, and the Lord can still use you. He still use Brother John. He used to be a theologian. He used to be a mind man. He ain't none of that no more. He's just a Christian. That's what we all is, a Christian. Matter of fact, I don't even want anybody calling me apostle. Stop calling me that. Just call me Emmett Overton. I ain't trying to feed off that. I know what I am. I'm just sent to do radio. Do I have to say it? No, just Emmett Overton's fine with me, because I don't want to be caught up people looking. Don't look up to me. That's the problem. People look up the pastors in these positions, and you're looking up the man. You're not looking up to the Lord. They do is it's called another gospel. Paul said this in Galatians. So if you don't hear anything about deliverance in your church, you don't hear anything about laying hands on the sick. You don't hear anything about the nine gifts of the Spirit. You don't see the prophetic operating in the church. You don't understand the Sabbath because your pastor don't move on the Sabbath day. He should move the way Jesus moved. How are you going to be called by God and preach and not preach on the Sabbath? And you say you're a Christian. I got to get on to everybody with this because I'm challenging everybody. I'm responsible. I've been a Sabbath keeper, and the Lord told me I've been a Sabbath keeper for 15 years. He said, tell everybody about my Sabbath. And that's been a pet peeve since I've been in this ministry. Yes, I'm a Sabbath keeper. I don't go on church on Sunday. I don't want to step in no church, and don't invite me to one because I'm not coming. I don't care who you are. I'm not interested in going in on church on Sundays. I stopped. I got nothing for those who preach the gospel, but I can't even talk to certain people that I know concerning a Sabbath keeper because their heart ain't open to it. Or they don't feel there's a need. There is a need. Jesus cast out demons on the Sabbath day. He was in the synagogue in Mark chapter 1 casting out demons. All in the Bible, he was casting out demons. Just read the Bible. You'll see it. So what has happened is the devil has replaced and taken that power of God out the church and replaced it with other pastors called another Jesus. And Paul warns us of that in Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that call you into the gospel of Christ unto another Jesus. It's another Jesus. It's the one that Creflo Dollar preaches. It's the one that T.D. Jakes produced. It's the one that Joel Osteen produced. Jesse Duplantis. Juanita Bynum. All these outward performers. That's all they are. It's another Jesus. They'll say that. Won't anybody interpret it. They keep talking. It's just all out of whack. It's also in 2 Corinthians 11:4. For the people that cometh preaching another Jesus, whom ye have not preached. See, I haven't preached that type of Jesus. The Jesus I preach is a Sabbath keeper. The Jesus I preach casts out demons. The Jesus I preach lay hands on the sick. The Jesus I preach raised the dead. The Jesus I preach fed 5,000. The Jesus I preach challenged the demons at the demoniac in Mark chapter 5. The Jesus I preach saw Satan come out of lightning, fall out of heaven like lightning. That's what I teach. That's the real Jesus of Nazareth. And we need to stop getting caught up in trying to serve the Lord the way you want to serve him. Some people join churches and organizations because the pastor look good, or the wife look good, or the choir. Most people are locked in churches because of music. Music is good, but it's also a weapon of the devil also. Satan is an angel of light, and he was a musician. And some people can get so caught up in the church that, oh, the music's so good, not getting fed the word. But in a point of praise, okay, after you get through praising God, you still got to stand on the word of God, and they don't know how to stand. Why? In the wrong church. It's good to praise the Lord. The Bible says that everything that have breath praises the Lord in Psalms 150. Everything have breath. Praise the Lord. So that God wants you to praise, but he also wants you to cast out demons. He wants that preacher to be able to lay hands on you. He wants that preacher to be able to discern from the Holy Spirit what is in you. He's supposed to give you a word of knowledge. At least half the audience or more than half who are there, everybody should be fed, and they don't do it because it's another gospel. It leaves out power of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord warns us in 1 Corinthians 12:2, wherefore I give unto you understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It is another gospel. It is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It leaves out the Lord Jesus Christ and his power. The word a curse means the one lies under the curse of God is doomed to destruction and will receive God's wrath and damnation. The Apostle Paul reflects here God's judgment and indignation toward those who deliberately distort the original gospel of Christ and change the truth of the apostolic witness was evident in Jesus Christ. God will deal with those type of pastors, and they know they're wrong. I took one of them off my air. I was with him for 14 years. He get up on here when the covert bias break out and then sit talking about sending $190 for four scriptures to quote. I couldn't. That didn't even go right with my spirit. I had people from Israel telling me, you need to get him off because I'm not going to let my Israeli members be ashamed or my Gentile members. And I listened. And I got him off. I said, no, this ain't working. See, that's people can be anointed, but they still want to slide that money in there. Then I even heard the same pastor say they're going to take the money and use it up wrong. But who are you to take their money? Why are you taking their money? It's going to be a good thing, but you taking it. They want to go drink it. That's their money. They drink what they want to drink. People do what they want to do. They want to sin. That's between them and God. When I heard that, I said, let me pull it away. See, people can get caught up in this and get really tempted with this money. And then all the devil got to do is keep sugarcoating that pastor with that money, and I guarantee you, you'll see a lack of teaching and the anointing will diminish. Now, the Bible definitely talks of false brethren and false apostles. Also, they can be the ones who can affect you by not being able to cast out demons. There's a scripture for false brethren. Let's look at this in 2 Corinthians. Oh, we're going to be doing all the scriptures tonight because it's all on the Lord tonight. It ain't on me. 2 Corinthians, let's look at 2 Corinthians 11, and every time I say something, I will have a scripture. 2 Corinthians 11, let's go to verse 26. In journeying often in pairs of robe and pearls, or robe and pearls by my own countrymen and peers, by the heathen and peers in the city, and peers in the wilderness, and peers in the sea, and peers among false brethren. And there's a lot of false brethren preaching a gospel that has nothing to do with the word of God. It takes certain things out. It adds certain things in. Let me give you an example. Sacrificial offering. There are pastors making people tell them that they got to have a sacrificial offering in order for God to give them. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, you are bought with a price. So why is a person paying for something when Jesus paid for it? See, that's when you start getting up with foolishness and you start following that. You are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you are bought with a price. So why is it that you got to have a sacrificial offering? Reverend Bill Moore, sacrificial offering. Reverend T.D. Duncan, sacrificial offering. Reverend Cloudon, sacrificial offering. Reverend T.C. Mittman, sacrificial offering. Reverend Jackson, sacrificial offering. Reverend Higginbottom, sacrificial offering. Reverend Turnipseed, sacrificial offering. Reverend Jackson, sacrificial offering. Sacrificial offering. Why are you telling people that? You got called out live. That's not God, man, taking people and doing people like that. Saints, there's nowhere in the Bible that you got to give somebody sacrificial offering out the Bible to get a healing from God. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because the Bible says, for you are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20. And these pastors get on my nerve with that foolishness, and they are nothing but false brethren. Also, the Bible speaks of false apostles, so everybody ain't no apostle. Everybody is not an apostle. Let's look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. And, no, 2 Corinthians 11, 13, forgive me. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. How can they transform themselves? By giving a doctrine that you're going to be attracted to? Money. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. I used to hear a lot of Creflo Dollar ministers like that when I was a hospital chaplain at South Fulton Medical Center. They all, and I said, well, you have, oh, the money coming, money, $1 million from heaven, $1 million from heaven. I'm like, Lord have mercy, these people are praying. I said, what you praying, brother? $1 million coming out to heaven. There ain't nowhere in the Bible that structurally says that. This is another gospel. The Lord Jesus will command all those who preach a gospel contrary to that which was preached by Apostle Paul, revealed to him by Christ. He's going to judge people. I certify you, brother, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Paul said that in Galatians 1:9. And this gospel that these people are preaching is after man, because man does the things of Satan. What is the most the root of all evil? Money. Money is the root of all evil. And these pastors are really hopping on money. Everything they got to do, this clown, Juanita Bynum, she's selling towels. This is absurd. And y'all take y'all money and spend on a towel? Anyone adding or taking away from the original gospel of Christ and the apostles stand under God's curse. God shall take away a part of the book of life away from him. Let's look at that. That's going to happen to a lot of pastors. Let's look at this in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. The day of finger banging is over. God is tired. He wants his church back. We're in last days. And people, you ain't got time to get sharammed with no preacher. Here you come on Sunday. Here you come gutting out your money. Getting sharammed. Now we got one more thing here. Just lay that down to the Lord and trust him. In 9 months, you'll get this. That man think about paying off his visa. That man ain't thinking about you. That man ain't even going to call you. You got to go to four people just to get to him. He done set up his system so far. All he doing is designed to get your money on that Sunday, which is the wrong day. Preaching on the wrong day, trying to heal people on the wrong day. That's why you see very little healing in churches. You can't force God to take a Sunday and make it holy. God says the seventh day is holy and separated. Jesus says he's Lord of Sabbath. He didn't say he's Lord of Sunday. Nowhere in the Bible he says that. That's the original gospel that I'm teaching. And that's what all these other preachers should be teaching. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. Revelation 22:18 says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." I do not want that judgment on me. I follow the Bible. Jesus said he's Lord of Sabbath. I believe that. When the Lord sent me to Israel, I've been to Israel twice. That converted me over to the Sabbath. I said, "Where's everybody at on Saturdays?" They said, "This is the Sabbath." And I never forget Ruthie Romney. She taught me the Sabbath in 2 days. A Jew. But now that's shunned upon because you try to associate it with as the seventh-day advantage. We have false brethren in the church. That's not real brothers. So we're going to look at all this. Let's go to 2 John chapter 1:7. 2 John, we're going to get all this done because this is why everybody is messed up. You don't know the Bible for yourself. Then you go into the church that omits, listen to me. Well, I can't find none, then don't go to one. I don't step in no churches. But if you got a family with children, they need to be fellowshipping around children. I don't mind if a man's married, he's young, he has to, his children have to see a church environment. I'm talking about you grown people. Study the word if you can't find everything that I'm saying. Study it. The church is inside you. Where two or more gathered together in my name, therefore I am in the midst. If you can't find a building, then you create one within you. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. "For many deceivers are entered into this world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." You got people today that don't even believe in demons. You got people today believe in Jesus but don't even believe in the Holy Ghost. And this is what, when you omit out the gospel of Christ, it causes problems. The true gospel is found in the heart of every follower of Christ who loves his gospel as revealed in God's word and who believe that it is the indispensable good news of salvation for a world lost in sin. Romans 10:14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" How can a person know anything about the ministry of deliverance if a pastor is not teaching the ministry of deliverance and watching in operation? O Theophilus, how Jesus both began to both do and teach, Acts 1:1. God wants that. The real gospel is totally different than what you see in with Darrell Parsley and Joel Osteen. That's a joke. I would laugh at something like that. There's no way you let me sit up in there and hear that man. That man get on my nerves time he start talking, because he ain't talking nothing about no, he ain't talking against the kingdom of darkness. Most Christians don't even know that they're fighting against demonic spirits in their life. They don't, because their pastor don't exhibit it in the church. The real gospel that pastors should do is the same thing Jesus ordained his 12. In Mark 3:13-15, he called his 12. He sent them in a mountain and called to him whom he would. He ordained them to cast out demons, heal the sick, lay hands on the sick, and they should recover. What did he ordain the original 12? It hasn't changed. So why are we got people being ordained in the name of Jesus, but not doing what Jesus ordained his original 12 to do? It's another Jesus. It's another gospel. It is a trap from the devil. Let me tell you, it's a trap from the devil. Most of these theologians in this room cannot understand the ministry of deliverance. We got one in here calling every other day, switching the number, talking about what rank is Don Durden on. Is he higher than you? I mean, it's absurd. It's absurd. Everybody bucking for position. I'm doctor this. No, I'm doc. That ain't the body of Christ. The word of God said, oh, how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalms 133, verse 1. But this other gospel that's being poured out to you, you are attracted to it because it does not bring repentance. You are attracted to it because it gives your ear it what it want to hear, which is money. And most people are really indulging money. If in the United States, I'm not here to judge Americans, but if you like materialistic stuff, you're at the right country. If you like idolatry, you're in the right country. If you like sin, you're in the right country. If you don't like the deliverance ministry, you're in the right country. That should not be. So how is Jesus' original ordination? He says in Mark 3:13, and he goeth up into a mountain and calleth to him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that they might send them forth to preach, 1, to have power to heal sickness, 2, and to cast out devils, 3. Do we see pastors doing that today? No, it's another Jesus. Now, here are some scriptures to show you the real gospel. Write this down. 1, Mark chapter 3, verse 13 through 15. 2, James chapter 5, 14 through 18. 3, Luke chapter 10, 17 through 21. 4, Acts chapter 19, verse 13 through 17. 5, Luke chapter 32 to 44. Acts chapter 14, verse 8 through 12. Acts chapter 28, verse 3 to 5. Acts chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Acts chapter 5, verse 15. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 21. Again, the real gospel. Mark chapter 3, 13 through 15. James chapter 5, 14 through 18. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 21. Acts chapter 19, verse 13 through 17. 44. Acts chapter 14, verse 8 through 10. Acts chapter 28, verse 3 through 5. Acts chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Acts chapter 5, verse 15. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 21. Now, there are scriptural verses concerning these theologians in certain churches that's using these intellectual words. It's all in the Bible. We should not get caught up in it. Let's look at Jude 1:16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, oratorical, and no power. He's a sharp man. He got us all syllables right, his nouns pronounced it right, and you call that anointing. It's structural English, correct English, as he's teaching to you. And you think that's the Lord. The Lord don't need that. That ain't helping heal nobody. Leadership conference classes. Always leadership. How much more leadership do we need? Where about the demon in you that won't forgive? They ain't talking about that. The spirit of unforgiveness. They ain't talking about that. You submitting to your wife. They ain't talking about that. You forgiving your wife so your prayers won't be hindered. 1 Peter 3, chapter 3. In Titus chapter 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their minds is conceited and defiled. You cannot teach a person intellectualism without the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It won't work. You will have nothing but dung. 2 Kings 18:26-27. Piss and dung is all you're going to get. The Bible warns us of these types of pastors. In Jude 1:19, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Now, sensual means alert intellect. Oh, they paying attention to every word you say. They don't have the Spirit of God. Do you believe in speaking in tongues? Tongues have ceased. We may have many pastors that come on the radio station. Tongues have ceased. We have his word. Well, if you have his word, why don't you operate in it? I get that all the time. Paul warns us of these intellectual pastors in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Now, we said earlier in James 3:15 that this wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, devilish. So a lot of pastors are preaching devilish doctrine on the pulpit with human wisdom and leave out and omit the Spirit of God and his power and his glory of healing, casting out demons, recovering from the sick, hurt wounds, schizophrenia. This stuff doesn't do any of that, what I just explained. Colossians 2:4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. They're trying to entice you with their words. But in the eyesight of God, they're nothing but fools. In Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, but become fools. They are fools in the eyesight of God because they have not yielded themselves to the power of God to allow the Holy Spirit to be in operation in them so that you can see how it has been done in operation. So if the head is sick, Isaiah chapter 1, everybody in the church is going to not have the same no anointing because the head is sick. So if you got headship in the church that's educated, you got problems. You got a lot of problems. There will not be any healing in that church, period, at all, none. Now, what happens is what the church have done, Satan has moved it, and he has when a person don't yield themselves to the Holy Spirit, they become a vessel not unto honor. The Holy Spirit is supposed to lead the pastor. The Holy Spirit is supposed to give the pastor the understanding to teach deliverance, to tell the person, look, go send your child to psychiatrist, but if that don't work, it's demonic. An intellectual enemy of God is going to say, go see a psychiatrist. They will leave out the ministry of deliverance because they can't comprehend it. They don't have the revelation. They're ignorant to it, and they really don't want to deal with it. They know it's there, but they don't want to deal with it. So what happens? You become bewitched. Galatians 3:1 says, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not evidently obey the truth, whose evidently Jesus I sent before you? And then what happens? They do. They launch you into bondage. Now you fit Galatians 5:1, stand fast in the liberty of the Lord, where Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You come under the yoke of bondage under control, manipulation, mind science, telekinesis. All this is operating in them, and they don't even know it because they're leaving out the ministry of deliverance. So what happens is you have theology exalt itself above revelation. Then you have academic achievement over a character. I even had this guy say he votes for a person's policy, not their character. So this is where we're at in these times now. A policy means more important than a character. A person's education means more important. Do they have discernment? I'd rather have a janitor that has discernment and that can hear and teach the word by the word of God than set up under some guy with a doctor's degree. Now, society has have it flipped as that if you don't have an educational degree, you're not able to serve God. That is nowhere in the Bible. Because if you look at the original apostles, none of them had any education but one. Luke was a physician. So what happens is the devil gives you a theology. And what happens, it exalts itself among revelation. It exalts itself among the ministry of deliverance. It shuts it out. Then you got academic achievement over character. Then you got psychology over discernment. They believe the psychology, but they don't really believe the discernment that somebody in here has demons. And yet they go send them to the hospital, get them on medication, rest their life, and the demon just destroys them. That's what happens to these type of pastors. Oh, well, you know, send them to Dr. Frazier for an educational, a psychological evaluation and come back to me. I have them tired now. You know, like they really in the presence of God, and they can't even hear God. They sound like they can hear God, but they don't cast out demons. Baby, you got to cast out demons. You got to deal with it. And if you don't want to deal with it, you don't need to be in this ministry. We got too many ministers with preaching this garbage. We got too many pastors stealing folks' money. We got too many pastors performing. And we'll cast out a demon or two, and we'll show a word of knowledge and still drain you out some money. So then you got programs over the leading of the Holy Spirit, Dog's Day, Singles Day, Men's Day. They institutionalize certain things to get you to get their money. And every time you go to church, you got to come out your pocket. So, and then the devil is real good. He get these people in the position of the church to have human eloquency above supernatural power. And that ain't nothing but the devil. Eloquency of speaking. But what? No supernatural power. Eloquency over supernatural power. Human reasons above the walk of faith. Laws above love. Religious acts. And human efforts, apart from God's grace, no matter how well intended, will always result in an Ishmael, not Isaac. Christian churches, which have tasted the grace of God, but them have turned away and become entrusted in their own efforts, their own intelligence, their own methods, and their own religious forms, have armed themselves with human strength. The blessing of God has left that church. Now you got a curse on you because you're trusting in your flesh. And the pastor's operating in the flesh. Cannot heal. He can't be a vessel to heal. He doesn't have no word of knowledge. But, oh, yes, his structural English is at its best. I'm elated to be here in these United States. Proper eloquencies. That doesn't mean nothing to a demon. He says, sounds so good. And them lust demons all in you, unforgiveness all wrapped up in you, pride all up in you. Because what you under is what you're going to be. Whatever covering you under, that's what you're going to be. I came under Pastor Wayne Thompson. Pastor Wayne Thompson had a deliverance ministry. I got the anointing came from here to me. It transferred to me. I expounded with it more. He still was in the ministry of deliverance, not as deep as I am. But where did it come from? The head. So if you have a pastor in that church, and if you don't see any gifts in operation, I tell you, you need to get out because it will trickle down and affect you. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Don't you love yourself? Why would you want to go to church? Ain't no healing up in there. Now, what you got on the pulpit will trickle down to you. Let's look at this. Isaiah chapter 1. It will trickle down. If you're on an intellectual pastor, that's what you're going to get. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Azmar, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Joham, Ahaziah, and Hezekiah, and of Judah. Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Now, here's the pastor. He don't want to deal with the Sabbath, so he's rebelling against God. He don't want to deal with casting out demons. He's rebelling against God. Dr. Charles Stanley had that problem. Dr. Charles Stanley is the Southern Baptist Pastor Association, a big old pastor in the Baptist Convention. He used to believe in tongues. He shut down speaking in tongues just for that position. So if you got a pastor that have a rebellious spirit that will go against the Sabbath, that will go against casting out demons, that will go against casting out demons, healing the sick, breaking generational curses, that will go against the prophetic word, that will go against laying hands on the sick, that will go against breaking all type of curses, that will go against a prophetic word. It's going to come down to you, and you ain't going to understand it. He's done with it because he shed it off, and you still tied to him, and you just as wrapped up in it with him because you support him for teaching that garbage to you every Sunday, which is the wrong day. The ox gnawed his ass, and the masters cried. But Israel does not know my people, does not consider. Ha! A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupt. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel until anger. They are gone away backwards. Why should we be stuck in anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. If the whole head is sick, that pastor, and everybody that's sitting in here in this administration, they ain't speaking in tongues. They don't believe in the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, we'll do a listen here a little bit that. If he got that in his spirit, everybody else is going to get it. Do you see the importance of transfer of spirits? This is why the enemy loves these types of pastors operating in the church, because they can block out the ministry of deliverance. They can keep their psycho control over you as they speak. They can sing their little song to you and look very nice and smell good to get your money and arouse you in an emotional gathering where you become a zombie to demons and start giving your money to a fool. You give your money to someone that don't even cast out demons. You give your money to someone that don't even have the word of knowledge. You give your money to someone that don't even recognize the Sabbath, you fool. Don't be a fool no more. Accept everything in the word of God or get out there, church. God is not mocked. God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord, the word of God, and touch not their unclean things, 2 Corinthians 6:17. God is sick of these types of pastors, these so-called theologians and faith teachers. We're going to continue this teaching on part two, and then after that, we're going to go back to curses again. This is why you don't understand the ministry of deliverance, what I just told you through scripture tonight. This is why you haven't saw it. And if that's you, the type of person, email me and tell me your testimony. Email me at overtonavy1@gmail.com. We want to thank every one of you who has sown a seed here. Thank all of you. Please help us out on this telethon. I thank Sammy so closely. Thank you, Brother Rodriguez Baker, Mrs. Baker. Thank you. I want to thank everybody who has sown a seed. Please help us on air. I want to thank Brother Paul. We are blessed. Bag up system. We love you. We want to teach you the word of God. We don't want you to be ignorant and being under control of some foolish pastor who don't have any gifts for himself. Please sow a seed at www.livedeliverance.com. On the lower left-hand corner on our PayPal site, sow a seed and keep us on there. God bless to you, and shalom. We are getting ready to come into the Block Talk Room. Stand by. Stand by, please. Chaplain John Durden.
Yes.
You have the mic.
Good evening, everybody. I was really excited about this session tonight because Brother Emmanuel was jumping with joy and everything else. The Lord said, I really have a message from my pastors. And he says, and some going to like it. All of them may not like it. But he had to express his heart. And then God laid it on my heart to share with you because we can't hide from him. And we get calls every day, almost hour after hour, about coming down here and ball jack us. And he's supposed to be bishops and apostles and doctors and all these other kind of things. And, you know, and I just want to share, I'm not lying. I get statements every day about coming down here to ball jack you, boy, and all this other kind of stuff. And then there's another thing they're doing. They say ball jack, ball jack, ball jack. And finally, I realized what they were saying. Ball jack means coming down there and going to pop my little booty hole and all this kind of thing. So God gave me some scriptures. And I'm going to share it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he says this. Give this to him, John. And I wrote it down. Jeremiah 23:14. They have become to me like Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what that is. A man screwing another man, a woman screwing another woman. They have become like me. Sodom and Gomorrah. Notice that they have become to me like Sodom and Gomorrah. And then Jeremiah 23:11-12 says this. These ministers, and I'm writing what he told me to write, these ministers are godless. Even in my church, I am aware of their wickedness. Therefore, their signs will become exposed. All their sins and everything will be exposed, and I will bring disaster upon them in the time of their punishment. Some have not been punished because it's not time, because God's given them additional time so they repent. He said, say it again. All right. These ministers are godless. Even in my church, I am aware of their wickedness. Therefore, their sins will become exposed. It hasn't happened for the last 12 weeks now. And I will bring disaster upon them when they lose their family and everything else in the time of their punishment. Then he gave me Jeremiah 23:24. Can anyone hide themselves in secret places so that I cannot see or hear them, declares the Lord? And Lord had us to call out a whole bunch of ministers. You know what? Many times they'll call us and say, Pastor, we need you to talk to my husband. I say, where are you? Oh, he's in the hotel room, so-and-so. I say, where are you? Oh, he's in this city, and we're in this state, this kind of thing. I say, where are you? We outside, because the faggot toll order, because they were paying these pastors, $500, $600, $700 to screw them in the butt. And some of these pastors not paying them, so what these queers are doing, they telling on these pastors who are screwing them. And I said, really? Yeah. I said, here's the number to the hotel. We even know what room number you're in. And we called the guy to him, oh, John, did you? How do you know this and how do you know that? I said, because the faggot did not pay the pastor. And so, the faggot did not pay, the pastor did not pay the queer. So he told the man's wife and everything else. For the past 7 months now, we had about 13 or 14 ministers and lost their ministry, as well as their wives and children and grandchildren. Jeremiah 23:24, he said, read. I said, can anyone hide themselves in secret places? You can hide from your mama, you can hide from your daddy, you can hide from your wife, but you can't hide from God, that I cannot see and hear them. And then the last thing he gave me was, for your uncleanness, I will bring you everlasting shame. And that's a whole lot of them happened to. And trace that will never be forgotten, says the Lord. And that's what happened. God, I seen over 20 some odd pastors lost their family, their children, grandchildren, everything else, because those queers told one because they wasn't paying that $500 and everything else. But God said, you're going to be shameful. That's what happened. For your uncleanness, I will bring you everlasting shame and disgrace that will never be forgotten, says the Lord. So that's all I got to say. I told a couple of them earlier, but they told me, I don't like you. I never did like you. I said, that's that demon you're talking. Every time we say something about you, bald, sex, and everything else, and you're taking money, I think, I don't like you. You know, I don't like you. I said, demon, I hear you talking. You're using this minister. You're trying to follow the Lord, and you got him possessed. So that's all I have to say, brother. I don't want to take up all evening. But God bless you.
Another
I really
thing,
enjoyed
too.
Okay,
thanks, Brother John. Another thing, too. I've been on exorcism sites and, doing deliverance in the homes, and the pastor's not able to deal with Satan and some of their children get involved with it. And these people ask me questions. And there's a lot of people out here that really don't have a pastor. You just said nothing. It's just some garbage. And you really need to change your life and change your style and not let that dictate your life. Because when you die, you got to answer that. You don't need to be sitting on nobody that's great nothing and intellectualism. You want the power of God. God bless everybody. Shalom to you. Sow a seed and keep us on the air, and that's it for tonight. Have a good one. Good night.